music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening. We thank God for another Saturday. Last Saturday I wasn't around, but we played a repeat of the previous edition. Thank God. And this evening is a bit loaded, lots of things to talk about, and interesting times we live in. If you follow the news, international news, you see the tension that is happening and all that. Tonight I'm talking a bit about some of those, as well as what is coming Monday, the solar eclipse in the US, some interesting things around it, and we'll look at a few other things. And I believe, well, I can exhaust all that within the 1 hour. I'm Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Greetings to listeners all over the world, and we thank God for this evening. So this week, well, we've had 2 earthquakes. One was destructive, the other wasn't. So the 7.3 earthquake in Taiwan, which caused lots of destruction, story buildings turned, tilting to the left and to the right and all that. And that's, I think, the strongest in 25 years. But then there was a surprise one around New York, New Jersey area, which has not happened that much, that in terms of the magnitude, several hundreds of years, over 100 years. That's what they are saying. And the shaking was quite, it wasn't that, it was 4.4, I think. But then, you know, some are worried that could it be a precursor of a bigger one? Okay, well, and okay, so let's talk about, okay, let me skip it and then we talk about it, the eclipse aspect. Let's talk it, I mean, about the that one after this portion of the news, and then I'll get back to it. So, close ally of Vladimir Putin warns that a nuclear strike is likely coming. I mean, the ongoing Russian-Ukraine war. Russian President Vladimir Putin's friend Viktor Medvedchuk recently predicted that a nuclear strike will most likely be coming. Underline, most likely. Putin and senior Russian officials have repeatedly threatened nuclear escalation against Kiev and its Western partners since Moscow launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. During Putin's annual State of the Nation address last month, he warned that Russia's strategic nuclear forces are in a state of full readiness. He also warned that there was a genuine risk of nuclear war if Western nations send troops to Ukraine, as suggested by French President Emmanuel Macron last month. And the issue is, in parts of Europe now, they are training and preparing for a possible nuclear strike. So they are not taking it lightly. The NATO nations are not taking these warnings lightly at all. All right, then we go to ISIS. Islamic State, these people, they call on lone wolf attacks during Ramadan to massacre Christians and Jews across Europe, US, and Israel. So a top ISIS spokesman has called on lone wolves worldwide to launch slaughters against Christians and Jews en masse in a chilling new declaration of terror. In a 41-minute long recording to mark the 10th year anniversary of ISIS declaration of a caliphate in Iraq and Syria, Abu Hudyafa al-Ansari declared Ramadan as the month of jihad and urged extremists to launch attacks in the US, Europe, and Israel. He went on to urge Muslims to leave their homes and migrate to join up with jihadists and strengthen their ranks. Interesting. Then we have Hezbollah leader issues chilling warning on Iran as terrorists fire rockets at Israel. So Hezbollah's leader Hassan Nasrallah has issued a chilling warning to Israel as his terrorist fighters rain rockets fires down on the Jewish state. Israel has been on a red alert after an attack believed to have been carried out by Tel Aviv, that flattened part of the Iranian consulate in Syria and killed two top Iranian Revolutionary Guard generals. Speaking, Nasrallah warned the West that the killing of IRGC leader Mohammad Reza Zarqadi would mark a turning point in the war, adding, "There will be a before and after this moment." He added that Israel's very existence was in danger. Nasrallah's broadside against Israeli leadership came after Iran's powerful Revolutionary Guard warned Friday that our brave men will punish the Zionist regime, escalating threats against Israel from the airstrike that killed seven of the group's members. The strike, widely attributed to Israel, destroyed a consular section at the Iranian embassy in Syria. The attack on the Iranian diplomatic compound was a significant escalation in what has been long-running shadow war between the two arch enemies, and Israel has been bracing for an Iranian response. The tensions flared up against the backdrop of the six-month-old Israeli-Hamas war in Gaza and raised renewed fears of a widening regional conflict. The terrorist group Hamas, which has ruled Gaza for 17 years, is one of Iran's proxies, along with Lebanon's Hezbollah militia and Yemen's Houthi rebels. Both Hezbollah and the Houthis have carried out attacks against the fringes on the Gaza war, with Hezbollah engaging in daily cross-border exchanges with Israel, and the Houthis frequently targeting Red Sea shipping. It was not clear if Iran would respond directly or continue to activate its proxies as it has done throughout the Gaza war. But then, something strange, and well, not too strange for some of us. I mean, I've said it on this program that we'll get to this point in this Israel-US relationship. So Joe Biden spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu this week, and the warning was clear: we won't support you. So Biden issues drastic ultimatum to Bibi, that's Benjamin Netanyahu. President Biden laid out an ultimatum to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in their call on Thursday. "If Israel doesn't change course in Gaza, we won't be able to support you," he said, according to three sources with knowledge of the call. Biden didn't specify what a loss of U.S. support would entail. He didn't mention the possibility of stopping weapon shipment to Israel, the sources said. But it was the president's strongest call with Netanyahu since October 7th attacks, both in tone and in substance. Many of the most senior members of the Biden administration were on the 30-minute call on Thursday, including the Vice President, Secretary of State, and National Security Advisor. Biden spoke to Netanyahu about the Israeli strike earlier this week that killed seven humanitarian workers with the World Central Kitchen, WCK, and said it would exacerbate the already dire humanitarian crisis in Gaza. WCK, which is one of the main players that delivered food to people in the enclave, suspended its operation in Gaza after the strike. The White House and Prime Minister's office declined to comment. Biden told Netanyahu there's a need for a pause in the fighting in Gaza due to the incident in order to allow humanitarian aid efforts to resume, according to the sources. Netanyahu told Biden, however, there will be the new procedures on the ground and therefore a pause in the fighting wouldn't be required, according to sources. He also said a pause needs to come with a deal for the release of hostages being held in Gaza. That's interesting. Okay. All right. Then CIA warns of imminent attack from Iran against Israel. Due to the attack that they did against the Iranian embassy in Syria. And new report shows that UK is slowly withdrawing support for Israel. You know, I've said it on this program several times that eventually we'll get to a point where Israel will be a standalone because they will lose all their support in the West or from the West. And I mean, clearly looks like that's where we are headed, because the way Israel is handling this thing in Gaza is pushing their support away. And this week, the killing of the 7 humanitarian support, the kitchen, World Central Kitchen. I mean, if you follow the whole thing, how the three cars, 4-wheel drives were attacked by drones, and it's just very, very unfortunate. And this is what is really, I mean, is making people, and there are three of them were British. So the British Prime Minister, very furious. You see, so eventually Israel is alienating themselves from the support of their Western allies by some of these actions. And I mean, this is what has triggered Joe Biden, and the British Prime Minister too had a call with him, with the Israeli Prime Minister also, chastised them for, you know, the killing of the three Brits. You know, this is all, well, some of these things are bound to happen. I mean, Israel will eventually be alone. They will lose all their friends. They will have to defend themselves, they and God on their side alone. God being their only partner, because all their Western support will be cut off. And gradually it's beginning, and it seems like, well, what has to happen has to happen. So this one says, Israel issues emergency evacuation of embassies as diplomats fear imminent revenge strikes from Iran. So Israel has put all its embassies around the world on high alert and warned officials to avoid going out in public as they fear Iranian retaliation. Ite Blumenthal, reporter for local Israeli media outlet Channel 11, announced the news on social media platform X. He claimed Israeli representatives in embassies around the world were evacuated to alternate locations. And then he added that they had also been cautioned to avoid public events as concerns over an Iranian strike on any one of the embassies grows. He wrote, as part of the assessment for an Iranian response we published this evening, the alert level in Israeli embassies around the world has been raised to the maximum level. A number of missions in several countries were evacuated after a situation assessment by the Shin Bet and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Okay, and then we have this one. Bird flu outbreak spreads in 5 states in the U.S. as CDC director warns that it's taking it very seriously as epidemic fears grow. Then we go to the U.S. again, where the U.S. now is in a complete nosedive when it comes to morality and common sense, where you have U.S. immigration announces third gender option for citizenship form. So as of Monday, that's the past Monday, immigrants can now select a third option on, that is X for xylophone, when applying for naturalization. The U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, released a news alert that revealed that it had revised Form N-400, the application for naturalization, to provide another gender identity, the first USCIS form to do so. Historically, USCIS forms and associated documents have only offered 2 gender options, male M and female F. This has created significant barriers for requesters who do not identify with either of those 2 options. Identify as, oh God. So limiting benefits requesters to two gender options also creates administrative challenges for USCIS when we receive birth certificates or other official government issued documents with a gender other than M or F. Okay. The statement said. It continued, adding a third gender option helps ensure that secure identity documents and biographical data are accurate and helps both external stakeholders and individuals requesting immigration benefits. It's also consistent with federal and state agencies that have adopted a third gender option, such as the U.S. Department of State's expanded passport services to offer gender X in the application. According to the statement, Form N-400 is the only USCIS form that includes the third gender option currently, but the organization is working on additional form revisions to provide it elsewhere. The applicant would not need to provide supporting documentation to choose the third option, and the gender that an applicant selects would not need to match the gender marked on other documents such as birth certificate, passport, or state ID. I mean, look at the confusion. So you can mark X on the application form by your passport, maybe M or F, because since you got the passport now, you decided to change your gender. So that's what is being allowed. You know, this I'll call it madness, because it doesn't make sense. And I remember last week I saw one news report where, you know, in some states, criminals, hardened criminals, sex offenders and all that, when they are being sent to prison, when they are arrested and they start the process, and they say that they are transgender, and the choice is they choose a female prison. And it's amazing that you see a bearded, strong, macho man who says, I'm a transgender, so I choose to be a female, so send me to a female prison. And it's being done. So you have these, men, who some are sex offenders, being sent into female prisons, being sent into, it doesn't make sense. And now there are cases of, they are raping the women in the prisons, some are getting pregnant. And what, sometimes you read some of these reports, you watch them, and you ask yourself, so what has happened to common sense? Because, something that is so obvious that you don't even have to think about or argue about. But it looks like it's these are, when it comes to these gender issues, is the most difficult thing for some states and some institutions to handle. And it's like, wow, the world is not the same again. And it's like where we've gotten to, it's even getting worse. All right, so Easter Sunday. Well, we all know Easter and Christmas. We know Easter, we know Christmas, but Easter is deemed more of like the Holy Week. So, like, at least that's the holiest of Christian holidays, the Easter Sunday, Christ Resurrection, Resurrection Sunday, and all that. But this year, America, they did it again. The West, they can do. And Joe Biden slammed for announcing Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday. Of all the days in the world, of all the days you can get in the year, Sunday, 31st March this year. The day itself, the 31st March, is the Transgender Visibility, the Transgender Day of Visibility. But then people were not expecting that officially you come out to say it on an Easter Sunday that we are celebrating it. At least be silent about it and let them do their own thing in their privacy or whatever. But then, no. They just, an affront to Christianity, an affront to God. President Joe Biden was slammed on Saturday after marking the Easter Sunday, the most solemn Christian holiday, as the Transgender Day of Visibility. Prominent Christians, politicians, commentators flooded various platforms with criticism after the announcement from the White House. While March 31st has been designated to honor the transgender movement since Biden took office, this year it falls on Easter Sunday, or in this case it fell. I'm reading the reports, it was this report was here in the Court of the Week. One of the most important days for Christians as they celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On Transgender Day of Visibility, we honor, quotes, I'm quoting the White House, on Transgender Day of Visibility, we honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are created equal and treated equally throughout their lives, unquote. A statement released by the White House said. Then the document that Joe Biden also signed as the president, today we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. And then it goes on to say that you belong. You are America. And my entire administration and I have your back. It continued. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., the President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim 31st March 2024 as Transgender Day of Visibility. I mean, it was really, really a shocker for people because it's like you don't expect this on Easter Sunday of all the days. No, no, no. But it shows how America has gone down, down, down. And then this one, Cartoon Network goes all in. Cartoon Network goes all in on Trans Day of Visibility, makes no mention of Easter. So the Cartoon Network made sure to post in celebration of the Transgender Day of Visibility on Sunday, but made no mention of the fact that Easter Sunday also fell on March 31st this year. This despite the fact that 1.6 million Americans over 13 identify as transgender and over 200 million identify as Christian and presumably celebrate Easter. In a post on Instagram, the cable channel's official account shared a picture of what appeared to be rainbow in just the colors of pink, white, and blue transgender pride flag. The same picture appeared several times in the carousel that included different affirmative captions for each frame. Now listen to these captions. I am growing into my fullest self. My body belongs to me. I love who I am and who I will become. I am not alone in my journey. My existence is voluntary. I belong just as much as everyone else. Only I can decide who I am. My identity is a process, not a race. I am needed and I am loved. I deserve peace and safety. And these are some of the captions, you know, they use it in some of the children cartooning and all that, you know. These are very subliminal messages if it goes deep. But if you really analyze the statement, it goes much deeper. The post read, affirmations of our trans and gender non-conforming family. You are valid just as you are. And a follow-up comment added, we are not doing hate today. Be kind or be blocked so that they are not ready to accept any negative messages. But you see, this is how it is. Cartoon Network, Transgender Day of Visibility. And, you know, if their main targets or their primary clientele, let me put it that way, are children. But now there's no bars again. Anything goes. And that is it. All right, so French gender equality minister wants priest prosecuted for saying homosexuality is a sinful weakness. A French government official has called for the prosecution of a Roman Catholic priest over a video he posted on social media describing homosexual inclinations as a weakness that must be fought like any other sin. Father Matthew Raffray, 45, posted the video to his more than 60,000 Instagram followers on March 15th, astonishing them to resist their... I think there's a mistake in the wording. Okay. Admonishing them to resist their sinful weaknesses, including homosexuality amongst them. Quote, we all have weaknesses. Those who are greedy, those who are angry, those who are homosexual tendencies. And then Raffray said in a incriminating video, according to the French Catholic media outlet Famille Journal, rephrase comments drew the ire of Ari Bedge, a 37-year-old politician who has served as France's Minister for Gender Equality, Diversity and Equal Opportunity since January. Baird released a statement on March 20th saying that Raffray's comments about homosexuality were unacceptable and that she was reporting him to the Interministerial Delegation for the Fight Against Racism, Antisemitism and Anti-LGBT Hatred to be prosecuted under Article 40 of the French Penal Code. This is serious, you know. Now, in some of these countries, don't say the truth because the law will catch up with you. And, you know, for France's Penal Code, I don't know the content of it, but the one that is being worked on in Canada, if it's to go through for this offense, for instance, you go to prison for life. Can you imagine to be sentenced to prison, life imprisonment for a statement like this? I mean, that means they see you as you are even more dangerous than a murderer, because I mean, but that's how serious they see these things, and that's how depraved the society has become, that they prioritize these things above other criminal things. I mean, but that's the world. Okay, so now let's get into few news items regarding the atmosphere and the science in the heavenlies and all that. Okay, so let me start with this. The once in a lifetime, the nickname for it, the once in a lifetime mother of dragons comet is here, according to the New York Times. You know, Monday there's this eclipse, a big solar eclipse in the US, 8th April, and it's quite a big one, a surprise. I mean, the surprise is that, like, it's been taken so serious, some is even holiday in some of the states and all that. But this news report says that Monday's solar eclipse isn't the only once in a lifetime celestial event on the horizon. An explosive comet called the Mother of Dragons will be appearing after dusk for the next few weeks in the Northern Hemisphere, giving stargazers plenty of time to catch a glimpse. The comet will brighten a bit as it gets closer to the sun, and it should be visible to the naked eye low in the west each evening, about an hour after sunset. Paul Chodas, manager of the Center for Near-Earth Object Studies, and David Famocha, a NASA navigation engineer, told CNN in a joint email. Dubbed Comet I-12P Pons Brooks, this comet hailstone only orbits the sun once every 71 years, with its last solar circumnavigation occurring in 1954. During prior eruptions, the Arctic blast caused the coma and the cloud of gas at the comet's center to sprout horns like some sort of intergalactic something, and then earning the name Devil Comet. As the appendages have been absent during the recent viewings, astronomers have since renamed IP or 12P the Mother of Dragons, because it's thought to have spawned the annual Kappa Draconis meteor shower. The interesting thing of this is, you see, the names that they give some of these meteors, stars and all these things, they give the name, but then they happen to be coded messages. You know, let me read a verse and then we get back to the news. Okay, so we have Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for, number one, signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. So the primary purpose for the stars, the sun, the moon, the meteors, the comets, and all the heavenly bodies, their number one assignment is for signs, to give signs to humanity. So if you remember, when Jesus was born, there was a star that was a sign for the Maggie who followed it, you know. Is it so? These, God has used these things to communicate things over the years. So when the names are given, coded name, they just, people give the name, but God uses it to communicate. Mother of dragons. And it clearly should tell us the season we are in, that indeed the evil is ahead, evil is coming. But you would understand why I'm saying this after I read the, you know, the Monday eclipse is interesting because this eclipse is passing through 7 towns in the US. And can you guess the name of these towns? The names, okay, it's the same name for 7 towns, Nineveh. And if you know your Bible well, Jonah, Nineveh, message of repentance. And, you know, clearly God is telling us something. We must repent. America has to repent. The world has to repent. Because the evil that is happening now, there should be repentance. But then what makes this thing very interesting is 7 years ago, there was another solar eclipse. On the, I mean, the movement is opposite of this current one. The current coming one on Monday, the movement is the opposite side. But then that one too passed through 7 towns, and the names of the 7 towns are Salem. Salem. So 7 Salems, now 7 years later, passing through 7 Ninevehs. If this is not a coded message, I don't know how else you would call it. I mean, Salem means peace. So see, God gives 7 years grace period. Now Nineveh, it's time to repent. Now the question is, would the world repent? Would America repent? I mean, your guess is as good as mine. But then you see, it tells you that the world is headed towards another season. And let me read one last news item, then you can get this whole picture in a much clearer way. Okay, so that one says, where is it hiding? Okay, I have it. Very rare alignment of 4 planets took place in this case 4th April. So on the 4th day of the 4th month 2024, there was a planetary alignment that involved 4 planets looking out from our planets. We have Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Neptune. And they all appear to align behind one another in the sky. According to astronomy.com, a planetary alignment is also known as conjunction. And it's simply a celestial event where multiple planets appear close together in the sky from our perspective on Earth. Instead, on April 8th, coming Monday, the Sun and the Moon and the 7 other planets in our solar system will all appear to be lined up in the sky as we look it up into the sky, the space. I mean, we are not going to see the eclipse here. And that is the interesting part of it. 7 planets on Monday, aside the eclipse, aside the mother of whatever, the monster dragon comet. I mean, what else should God tell us again before we realize that God is giving a warning to the world that we should wake up? There will be signs in the heavenlies and all these warnings. And is it, but the most important key message we should see in this is the fact that God can arrange the sun, the shadow of the eclipse, to pass through 7 towns. If the name Nineveh is dramatic and it's interesting. And clearly, if you know how the world is now, no one has to tell you how the world is. The world needs repentance. The world needs repentance. And you see, if you analyze it well, you see, the last 7 years, the last eclipse, the major one in the US as well, 7 towns, peace, Salem. Now, after 7 years, he's giving you a warning. Repent. 7 years of, you know, grace period to repent. We didn't. But now, I see it as this is a major warning of repentance. And interestingly, someone said, this week I just saw that message from a lady who also said that. And 40 days from there, you know, if you go to the book of Nineveh, Jonah, they had 40 days of repentance and all that. Now, 40 days after the eclipse that passes through seven towns called Nineveh, is that falls on the day of Pentecost. And that's very interesting. Very interesting indeed. And obviously, there is the call for repentance. But as to whether we are going to repent, the world is going to repent, America is going to repent, that's another story. But what if there's no repentance? What happens next? Now, that is where the question lies. What happens next? And if you have a mother of dragons, comets, giving you a signal, then it should give you a hint of the evil that is coming upon the world in the times ahead. You know, the world is pushing the limit to the limits in terms of evil, doing evil. Just the news that we just talked about. It's like now the world leaders and the system is just daring God. They don't care. They don't fear God. They just dare. They're just daring God. So that's why, see, when you talk about the fact that eclipse can be a sign of judgment, a warning, and all that to the world. Some say, oh, conspiracy theorists and all that. But there's history to attest to some of these things. But then when you have it passing through major, a significant name, such as Nineveh. Actually, until I saw the reports, I didn't know there was even some towns in the U.S. called Nineveh. I thought it was just an old name in the Bible. I didn't know there were towns, Nineveh, in the U.S., and now when I looked at, actually it's eight, but one is in Nova Scotia area, so that's Canada. So it passes through eight. That alone, you see, it's only God that can do such a thing. To align eight towns for the shadow of the eclipse to pass through. Come on, it's only God that can do that. You see, so, and God will not do such a thing, a marvelous thing, I will call it, just for doing sake. No. There is a purpose why God will do such a thing. There's a reason and a purpose. And for believers, it should be obvious for us. You see, the fact that you hear the word Nineveh alone, then we should know that a reminder of Jonah should be on our minds as believers. And what did they do? They had to repent. They had to repent. And God reminds us of Jonah because in the last days, Jesus talked of the fact that the sign of Jonah and all these things, like as in the days, the sign of Jonah, in this case, he was referring to his death and his resurrection and all that. But is it the timing just after Easter? We should just we should get the fact right that God is talking to the world. God is talking to the world through signs. The Bible is clear about it, Genesis 1:14. He uses these things to communicate to the world, signs. But as to whether we will get the coded message, well, that's another case. But then, the names alone, the timing, the numbers and all involved, it's just not ordinary. And the least we can do is to, the world can do is to repent. And we know, well, it's not going to happen. The world is not going to repent. The U.S. is just not ready to repent. They are even digging deeper into their immoral lives. As the leader of America, you can just see the mess and whatever is, if on Easter you can declare the holiest day of Christian holidays and all that, on that day you can make such a declaration, then it tells you they are just daring God. And well, that's it. So we just have to know the times we are in, that evil is on the horizon. As for that one, we can't run away from it. Evil is on the right. The world is moving to another phase we've moved to another phase from last year gradually, but this season is pushing it to another level. And for those who understand and follow the things happening in Israel and all that, clearly this, you can see that something is not right in the physical realm with me, where we see the wars, rumors of wars, we see all that we are talking about and all that, but in the spiritual realm there are things unfolding. And that is why God in his own wisdom and plans gives coded messaging to his children. Unfortunately, the church is so distracted and is asleep, comatose, let me put it that way, that we are missing the critical signals God is giving us, the wake-up calls. So we are more comfortable thinking all is well, when indeed and in truth, all is not well. The church has to wake up. Because, you see, we've been comfortable in our lukewarmness for far too long. At the time when the church should be active and doing what has to be done, reaching out to the world and all that, the church is comfortable and it's like, it's good, all is well, God will bless us, God is blessing us. We've lost our focus and we've been distracted. And sometimes when these things begin to, we get to the stage, God brings the shakings to wake up the church and wake up the rest of the world as well. Because sometimes you see, we are too comfortable that it's only a shaking that will shake you from your sleep. Else you continue to sleep. But some shakings happen and it wakes you up. I remember the U.S. when 9/11, post-9/11, churches in the U.S. were filled to capacity. Because there was a shaking. And that shaking really brought the fear of God into people. Like, churches were filled to the brim, I mean, capacity. But then, after a while, you know, oh, what will happen has happened. Nothing to fear again. Then that whole attendance waned and reduced. You see, so human beings sometimes need a wake-up call. And, well, if the church is also doing what is right, then can sustain that wake-up call. But when the church decides to sleep, then that wake-up call eventually fades away and then back to square one. And that's the season we are in. A wake-up call is pending. That one is, I mean, let's say that it is, there's a wake-up call coming to wake the church up, to wake the world up. One of the forms it will take, and for that one I know because I've heard some respected prophets talk about it from last year and early this year, that if we are to expect it in the course of this year, is a major economic shaking in the world. An economic shaking in the world is one of the wake-up calls that we should expect. And that is one. The second is we are going to have some huge earthquakes in some countries. And that's also, you see, that's why some are worried that this U.S. one that happened is more of a precursor of a warning. But, well, that is it. You see, so God uses this, I mean, allows some shakings to happen just to get the attention of the people, get the attention of the church, get the attention of the world. And I believe we should not allow some things to happen before we wake up that, oh, okay, then we have to be serious. Why can't we be rather serious when all is well, like as it is now, in the calm times now when there is no shaking? Why can't we rather get acts in place and put a house in order and do what is right and live right and do what pleases God, rather than allow God to shake before we wake up? I mean, that's it. But for listeners of this program, at least you have an idea of how the world is going and what is happening in the world, what is coming and all that. So let it be an advantage to you that we will do what is right, we will live right, we would repent of whatever it is and get right with God. Because that's the most, sometimes we become lukewarm to the point that we ignore things and we take things for granted. And unfortunately, this is another time to be taking things for granted. No. You know, God, next week I'll be starting a series on deception, and I'm going to do this series because last week and last 2 weeks, the level of deception materials or the deception that I've seen and heard, we really have to warn ourselves. And because it's amazing how in one, for those on my broadcast list, I've been addressing, talking about deception in the last few days and all that. In one case where a pastor, so-called prophet, I would say, says that Abraham is not the father of Isaac. And it's like, I mean, when you hear such a thing, the first thing is like, what is this guy saying? Because this is as basic as children or childhood Sunday school content. And he says this, and you have adults in the church saying, wow. I mean, believing it to this point of saying, wow, it's like, wow, a revelation. And it's like, what has come over Christians? It's like, I mean, as if people are just not, they don't read the Bible, they just don't believe anything they hear. And so we'll be talking about some of these deception that we are seeing. One key aspect of the deception strategies is the Bible is under attack. They are attacking the Word of God. So I'll play some audios where, you see, they make statements as a way of raising doubt about the authenticity of the Word of God. You see, and that's one strategy the devil is using, undermine the authority of the Word of God. Then now he can push the deception. So you see, we have to know some of these things so that we are aware and we are alert, so that when you hear, because the truth is, we are going to hear more deceptive things, we are going to see more, we are going to hear more. The level of deception, you see, we cannot stop Bible prophecy from happening. And because if you read Matthew 24, it's amazing how the emphasis of deception was so prominent in Jesus' delivery. So he starts, they ask him the question, what will be the sign, tell us, and all that. Then his first response is, and Jesus answered and said unto them, that's 24:4, take heed that no man deceives you. That was his first, intro. Then he goes on, verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You see, let's get Matthew 24 in the right perspective. Deception, or these false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. If the Christians are not here, what is the use of a false prophet coming to deceive who? You see, so let's get this right. 24:4, 24:11, then it goes on 24:24, I think. There too it talks of, and there shall arise false Christs. False Christ to arise means Christ has not come. Because if Christ has come, why should there be a false Christ again to come and deceive? So there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The elect are still here. You see, so deception in Matthew 24 is so prominent that that's the only topic, major topic, that he said, he spoke about it three times, 24:4, 24:11, 24:24. So we know that this is the open season for deception. I mean, we are in the season of deception, and the worrying part of deception is that many shall be deceived. There will be many deceivers who also deceive many. So we are in the season where we should be on the lookout for them. We should know that this is the season for deception. So we should be ready and alert to resist any form of deception, whichever way it comes, whether through the sermons or through written or through the whatever means. We should be alert because we know the deceivers are coming. Oh yes, and they are going to be many, and many are also going to be deceived. So we will get to the point where those who really know the truth and stand for the truth will be the few who have not been deceived. Because the word many, by all definitions, is the majority. So if the majority will be deceived, then it should tell you how serious the season of deception is going to be like. And it's worrying, because I remember is it last year or so, one man of God prophet was saying this. I was having a chat with my sister and she even drew my attention to it, that he gave a warning last year that, I mean, this is not a Ghanaian prophet outside. He said, so far the deception the church has known are at the lower level in terms of the demons are at the lower level and all that. But because the devil knows that his time is getting closer, now he's unleashing the principalities, the higher ranking officials in charge of deception themselves to now take over. So the world this year going should expect extreme levels of deception we've never heard and seen before. So when I started hearing some things, people attacking Paul's doctrine, there are errors in it and all that, and I say, here we are, the season has come. You see, when you start hearing things which clearly you know that no, this is abnormal, then it should give you a hint that these are not ordinary times to joke again, because the deceivers are coming and the numbers are going to increase. So it's time we know some of the things they are talking about. What are some of the strategies that we also have to put in place to ensure that we don't fall into these traps as well? So God willing, from next week I'll be starting that series. I believe it's going to be an interesting one, and I also have people to share. If you've heard something that is also, you know, this one is a clear off, pure deception, to also send me messages, some of the experiences you've had and all that. Because you see, we should warn ourselves, of what is happening, so that when you see some of the red flags, you don't fall into it. Because sometimes, you see, I heard one this week, and this man was, seriously speaking against communion, that communion is not biblical, communion, Jesus' time, it was just food, they just ate food, it's not something that we should do again after he died on the cross. And it's like, come on, what is this? And you hear pastors say this, and their followers are believing them. And some of these people have serious followers online, internationally, So some of these things, we'll address it, and so that we learn something, that this is a red zone, a no-go area, so that when you start hearing some of these things, you are not deceived and convinced, because sometimes they may sound a bit convincing if you are not already wed, you don't have a strong foundation in the Word of God. You see, so it's important we look at these things from the biblical point of view, and then we address it, and we know that we have to be careful of what is the season we are in and what we are going to start hearing. But as I said, the foundational strategy they will use is they are going to attack the Word of God. So for now, I'm sure some of you've heard it. Oh, the Word of God has been contaminated. The books are more than 66. They remove some. And not, you see, they want to attack the integrity of the Word of God. They want to attack the authenticity of the Word of God. This is the issue. The Word of God, as we have, the 66 that we have, God or the Holy Spirit allowed this collection for us, this compilation for us, is what is enough for us to get through our salvation, talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven and all that. It's what we need that has been packaged for us, enough for us to get our salvation. That is all. It doesn't mean, you see, even of the 66, those who are condemning the Bible has been edited more than 66 books. The 66, how many of you people have even read the 66 books and studied it well? Even the 66, and then you want more. And some said it should be 102. It should be this. Even the 66, have you finished studying it that you are asking for more? See, in their hearts, it's not that they want the more. It's just that they just want to make a case that the Word of God is contaminated, we can't trust it and all that. That's his agenda. But you see, they are using all these strategies to attack it indirectly. So we should be alert about some of those attacks, and so that we don't fall for it. Because if you don't, you are not alert and aware that this is a strategy they are going to use. You may be convinced, depending on who is saying it, and it may convince you, and you also buy into it. Because, yes, as I said, be aware, many are going to be deceived, so that we don't become part of that, the casualty list of the many Because that's for many. The Bible, once the Bible says many, it means many. So we should ensure that we don't become part of the many. Because the only way we can resist it is to ensure that we know the truth, we know the validity of the word of God, we trust the authenticity, we trust it, and we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. But aside this, we should also know the strategy, some of the things they are saying and what they are going to say, so that when they start twisting things, just before I go, the one who said, for instance, that Abraham is not the father of Isaac. I mean, what he did was so amazing. I mean, he just picked one verse and just used it to say that this is why Abraham is not the father of Isaac. And when you read that whole chapter, I mean, but he didn't allow his Bible reader to read the whole chapter. So, because he knew what he wanted to do. You know, he knew he wanted to twist. So he just picks, and we'll talk about some of these things. I'll talk about it and all that in detail, God willing, from next week as we start discussing this deception thing. Because it's not something that we can gloss over. No, I mean, because it will be dangerous to gloss over, because some people will fall for it. And it's better we address some of these things so that we know what is happening, so that as Nigerians we say, we shine our eyes, so that we are alert. So I believe you've learned something this evening. Okay, I think messages are coming. Whoa. I didn't check Italy. Okay, Mama Alice, good evening. We bless God. God bless you too. Mrs. Sampetrum, okay, I think they are agents of darkness. Oh, yes, certainly. Because the Bible says doctrines of demons. It's only an agent of darkness who can preach a doctrine of demon. The Lord help us and shine our eyes. Oh, okay. She's even used the word. I like the phrase, shine your eyes. All right. Auntie Tio also says, with no prior communication, the Morningstar University Company of Prophets put together a map related to the eclipse of the same day. Eclipse the same day. I had a dream about the rebirth of America. The 8th April eclipse path of totality goes through towns called Nineveh. Yes, that's what I was talking about. New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Texas, as well as Nineveh, Nova Scotia, in Canada. Yes, that's what I refer to. The path of totality also includes Rapture, Indiana, Jonah, and Texas. So the path of totality also includes Rapture in Indiana, a town, and then Jonah in Texas. What does this eclipse have to do with Nineveh and Jonah? Interesting. Auntie Tio, interesting one indeed. You know, that's why I say God uses a lot of things to communicate and send messages to his children who are watching and are really following his wording and his messages and all that through his prophets and children and all. I believe we'll talk more as more information comes up, as we start seeing some of the towns and all that. But as I said, the least we can do is to get right with God. I mean, that's the least we can do. And once we are living right with God, the rest is, there's nothing to fear. I mean, no, there's nothing to fear. We just have to get right with God and be serious with him and know the season we are in, that we are in the season where we have to get closer to God. We have to know God for ourselves. I mean, this statement is so, so paramount. We have to know God for ourselves. And the Bible now should be, I don't know how else to describe it, but we have to get more serious and deeper into the Bible than ever before. Because the only way we can stand, one of the ways we can really stand against deception, is having the word in us, fully having the word in us. All right, I'm Eben. Thank you for listening. God bless you. God willing, next week you'll be coming your way. This is recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and to the Telegram group Spirit Issues. Thank you, and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.